Right now, we're joined by Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library. We're talking books this week. And of course, speaking of books, everyone is talking about Ghosts at a Watchman by Harper Lee. I know there was just yesterday a couple of really cool events at the library, and I saw pictures with tons of people there. So how did that go? Yeah.
It went really well. We showed the movie, mm-hmm. which went as well as the movie goes, which is really well.
Yes.
And then we had a panel discussion where we just kind of looked at all different aspects of To Kill a Mockingbird and then sort of got into Ghost at a Watchman.
Okay. What are people... Have you had a chance to read any of Ghost at a Watchman yet? It just came out.
Yeah, it just came out on Tuesday, and mm-hmm. it was really heavily embargoed. So
yes,
there was, like,
yes.
no... I mean, the New York Times broke it, but whatever.
Yeah, there were a couple people who got a chance to review it in advance, and I'm not sure how they did it.
Well, I think because they're the New York Times.
Because they're the New York Times, yeah.
Right. They posted the first chapter on Friday, so I have read that, and I liked it. I mean, I thought it's sort of a more grown-up version of Scout, and mm-hmm. I love Scout, so that was kind of exciting. But I had the things that I think everyone's talking about from the review I have not seen yet.
Okay. And this is... And if you're out there and you don't follow the world of literature, which I assume a lot of you out there do anyway, but the big news to come out of Ghost at a Watchman is it's a very different depiction of Atticus Finch. More nuanced, should we say?
Or that might be
he's
generous.
A bit of a racist in this novel, which is a bit of a surprise.
Yes.
Considering that is the exact opposite of his defining characteristic in To Kill a Mockingbird. What are people saying about that? What did people say yesterday?
Well, I think the general consensus is, you know, heartbreak for literary...
My childhood.
Nerds.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, I wanted to, like, grow up to marry Atticus if mm-hmm. Mr. Darcy wasn't available.
Right,
so,
right. Which he's not, right? And,
right.
Yeah.
No,
I didn't get to the end of Pride and Prejudice. But.
Yeah. No, he's still fictional, so he's still unavailable to me.
Yeah. For multiple reasons.
Right.
Yeah.
So, what was the question?
What people are saying about Atticus Finch.
So, you know, some people are totally surprised. Some mm-hmm. people are going back to, you know, the text of To Kill a Mockingbird and saying, you know, well, this is a blind spot a lot of white liberals had and maybe mm-hmm. still have mm-hmm. that, you know, they believe in equality and justice, but still think people of other races are less than.
Yes, yes. Certainly an issue. And it's something that's going to take a lot of sort of parsing through and talking about and thinking about. And you know the case with, I think, most novels is that the reputation on day one is not the reputation on year two, which is not the reputation in year 50. So it's going to take a lot of reading and thinking about before we understand what the place of this book is.
Right. And I think it might be better known for being the book that maybe wasn't supposed to be published.
Yeah.
Which
the book that inspired or that
the first draft.
The
I
first
think.
Draft of To Kill a Mockingbird, yeah, more than anything else. What do you make of, maybe nothing, but what do you make of the controversy over the publication of the book and whether this should have been published in the first place?
I think that, I mean, I'm on I share the view of a lot of the cynical people, uh-huh. I think, that, you know, she's old and failing in health, and the book, you know, took 55 years. It was mm-hmm. sitting in the bank vault. So it's a little suspicious that now that her very protective sister has passed away, suddenly, oh, look what we found.
Right.
But I'm, like, super cynical, so... That might not be true, and I also am going to read it anyway, so...
Right. You have to be super cynical to work at the library, right?
No.
You
shouldn't be. You have to be appreciative of all aspects of human nature, including the opportunistic ones, I think.
Okay. Well, we're speaking with Susan McGuire of the Chapel Hill Public Library. We're talking about Ghost at a Watchman, A, because everyone is, and B, because it sort of leads into our topic for book recommendations this week, which is books in which you've got, are we going to say a major character?
Yeah.
Or a major character that you think is one thing and then turns out to be something else entirely.
Right.
Right? Which is what we're sort of dealing with and parsing through with Atticus Finch with the publication of Ghost at a Watchman, to the extent that you are willing to incorporate that into the Harper Lee canon, which I know some people still aren't doing. They're just taking this as the rough draft of To Kill a Mockingbird, and To Kill a Mockingbird is the be-all, end-all, but I don't know. So
time will tell.
Time will tell. So books in which you have major characters that you think are one thing and that turn out to be another. So I will let you take the honors and start. Yeah,
I'm going to get pretty meta with this one because I think one of the reasons why people think Atticus was such a hero is because of the movie. Because, so they're equating Atticus with Gregory Peck's performance of it, and that maybe in To Kill a Mockingbird, like I said, there's more there.
Yes.
So I want to talk about Wuthering Heights.
Okay.
Which everybody says is this super romantic book, and I think it's because of Laurence Olivier ruining everything for us. But if you go back and read the book, you are, I think, immediately struck by what a total jerk Heathcliff is. And you would feel bad for him and for Catherine, who he loves, except that she is also a total jerk. So you're like, I can't wait until the end when you're walking on the moors together forever and you stop destroying everyone's life around you. So as someone who reads romance novels and likes them, I get real mad when people say that's romantic. Because I'm like, you're talking about the movie.
That is interesting to think about. A movie that's super popular, that the movie almost sort of transcends the popularity of the book, so that when you go back and actually read the book, I don't think, maybe not so much with Wuthering Heights, because the book is still super popular too, but there are certain books where you go back and you read the book, and man, it's a totally different depiction of the characters.
Well, I do think that is true of Wuthering Heights.
Yeah,
and I think people maybe read the book once, but watch the movie a lot.
Yes, that's true. I remember when Forrest Gump came out, the movie, which is so incredibly popular. And the book, there was a book. It was a novel in 1984, before it was a movie. And the book was a bestseller. It was popular. It inspired this, you know, $100 million movie project. But everyone forgets the book now. And you go back and you read the book, and it's completely different, for better or worse I think the movie might have been more successful, but you go back and you read the book, it's a lot more cynical, for one thing, and just very, very different depictions of all of the characters. So it happens from time to time. Okay, so my first one, and I was joking with Susan Brown last week when Omar Curry was in, that I always take every single opportunity I possibly can to recommend Fun Home, but I did that last week, so I'm going to go to my other all-time favorite book, which is Catch-22 by Joseph Heller, in which the vast majority of the characters are what they seem to be from the get-go. They just sort of heighten their personality quirks as the book goes on. You think you're sort of suspicious of a character. You think they seem a little bit self-serving. They just get increasingly self-serving to the point of absurdity at the end of the novel, et cetera, et cetera. But there's one character, and I don't want to spoil it by revealing the ending, but there is one character who you think is dead and turns out not to be later on in the novel. And I'm not going to say who it was, but it's sort of a pivotal moment in the novel. And if you have read Catch-22, you know exactly what I'm talking about, because it is a really cool moment when it happens. But I'm gonna throw out Catch-22 in a world that's populated with dozens and dozens of characters who are even more the character that you think they are at the beginning. There's one in the midst of it that really surprises you, and that just makes the novel all come together. So I'm gonna throw out Catch-22.
All right. Well, and you bring up a interesting point. I have a couple here on my list that I don't know if I want to talk about them, because to even admit that there is a twist is kind of a spoiler.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, I've got to be really careful, because my other two kind of have spoilers too, so.
But I guess I personally don't mind if I hear a spoiler before I read the book, and in fact prefer to know what's going to happen so that I can not be nervous about it.
Yes, yes.
So,
My roommate jokes with me about the fact that I always read the last page of the novel before I start reading anything else. And that's actually not the case. I turn to the last page to see how long the book is. And I'm like, I have to sort of avert my eyes from the words on the page. Like, I look at the page like I'm looking at one of those 3D pictures where you have to look through the page in order to see the... If you look through the page, the letters get all blurry. But every so often, I'll read a line or I'll see a word. It's like, ah, crap, that person's dead or that person was never dead. And it's always disappointing. But
that's okay because the journey can still be
The journey good. Is still fun. And you get the surprise twist. You just get it out of order.
Right.
Like, anyway.
Well, okay, so let me talk about one with a twist.
Okay.
With a real twist that I think you know there's going to be a twist. I was going to talk about Gone Girl, but we all know about Gone Girl.
I was just thinking about Gone Girl. Yeah.
So,
do we all know about Gone Girl?
Well...
We know there is a twist in Gone Girl.
Yeah, but we know that one of the characters you think is innocent is a total psycho.
Yeah, just one.
Well, yes. Well, the one you think anyway.
One or
I said
all.
Too much. Is it long enough that we can? All right.
Yeah,
let's
it's been
not
a while.
Spoil
it's
it.
Been a while. Yeah.
The one that I'm going to talk about also was made into a movie that apparently was terrible. It's Before I Go to Sleep by S.J. Watson.
Okay.
I
don't know this.
I think if you liked Gone Girl, you might like it. It's a twist.
Okay.
Twisty book. There's a woman named Christine who has amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
And so every morning when she wakes up, she doesn't remember anything. So she has photos posted on her bathroom mirror of her husband and them together and their life together.
Mm-hmm.
But then she finds a book, and her husband's name is Ben. She finds a book in her closet that says, "Do not trust Ben." And so... Yes, and it's her handwriting, and every day she has to kind of start this investigation over again.
Wow.
Why shouldn't she trust Ben? Because he seems like a devoted husband.
And why did she not remember writing this down if it's in her handwriting?
Right, well, because she went to sleep. And as soon as she goes to sleep, she forgets everything.
Oh, okay, right.
So it's pretty... when you find out kind of what the deal is, you're like, what?
Ooh, I like that. Okay, so it's Before I Go to Sleep. Who's it by again?
S.J. Watson.
S.J. Watson. I'm going to have to look that one up because that looks really cool.
It.
It's got a memento feel to it, right? Yeah. Okay, so I'm gonna stay in the mystery murder investigation vibe. I don't know if it's a murder mystery or not, but sort of strikes it. Angels and Demons by Dan Brown. I know I don't know if I'm supposed to recommend Dan Brown novels.
You can. I like that one.
I think The Cool Police got to Dan Brown, but Angels and Demons is really good. I think I know everyone who has read both Angels and Demons and The Da Vinci Code likes whichever one they read first. I think people who read The Da Vinci Code first loved that, and then they were a little bit less plussed by Angels and Demons. But I read it in reverse
less
order, so is that that's a thing, right?
Sure.
You can if you're non-plussed, you can be plussed, and these people were less plussed.
All right.
But I read Angels and Demons first. It's really good.
I agree with
it. It may not necessarily be a book that rewards rereading, but the story is amazing. Dan Brown is a great storyteller, great at pacing, and as with The Da Vinci Code, kind of the same thing, too. You get your character, and I mean, with any murder mystery, right? There's a character who you think is perfectly innocent, and then you get that twist at the end, and certainly the case in Angels and Demons to a really significant degree. So I'm gonna throw that one out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out another, well, this one, oh, yeah, it does have murder. Gentlemen and Players by Joanne Harris.
Okay.
And Joanne Harris wrote Chocolat. So this book is totally different from that. It has two narrators, and they're both teachers at a private school in England.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually listened to the audiobook, and I remember when I got to the end, I was sort of like... really surprised. Okay, so one is like an old school classics teacher who's trying to keep, you know, this prestigious institution alive, and you know he's sort of fighting progress because he thinks it's bad for integrity. And then there's a new teacher who you actually don't get the teacher's name, and this teacher turns out to have nefarious intentions, which becomes clear. I mean, you know that this teacher is the bad guy, but then you find out this thing at the end, and you're like, what?
All right.
I don't know if I sold that really well, but look, I just was so flipped out by the ending that I was like,
what? Yeah. This is the problem with talking about books in which something turns out not to be what you think it is, because we can't really talk about the details all that much. We can just be like, don't just trust us. It's going to be this really awesome moment when it happens sometime around page 345.
Right.
And
I think I was going to talk about Shutter Island, but like,
can't really talk
about that.
In the case of a Shutter Island, like, oh, it's a twist ending. Like, you know, with The Sixth Sense, there's a twist ending.
Right.
With Shutter Island, there's sort of hints that there's a twist ending, like something's going on that you don't necessarily know what it is. But even to say, oh, there's a twist ending, you walk into the movie theater or you open the book and start reading, and you're already thinking, what's the twist ending going to be? Like, mm-hmm. I figured out when I went to see The Sixth Sense, I went to see it late, and I didn't know what the ending was, but I knew that there was a twist. So 5 minutes into the movie, I knew what the twist was.
Oh, I don't know if I think I might have Googled the twist because I didn't.
But if I didn't know there was a twist, I wouldn't have even been thinking about it, and then the ending would have blown me away that much more.
A spoiler alert and the existence of a spoiler alert.
Alert, yes.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Alert. Yeah.
Hmm.
And it's just spoiler alerts all the way down.
Just nobody talk to Aaron about anything.
Basically, ever. Yeah. So carry on as you usually do.
Sad stories.
Cynical. All right. Okay, so my last one, I had to think about which one of the seven to recommend, because with the possible exception of the fifth book, every Harry Potter novel
I was on my list
has a twist. Ooh, you just have the Harry Potter novels in general, or did you pick one?
I picked the last one because one character in mind. We can do
Harry Potter spoilers, right.
Harry Potter spoiler alert.
Harry Potter spoiler alert.
From 2004, everyone.
This is as close as we've ever come to recommending the same book at the same time. Susan Brown
this
and I were
magic.
Always really, it's Harry Potter. Of course it's magic.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we're always so nervous that we're going to walk in with exactly the same recommendation. I recommended Goblet of Fire because there's a twist in the first book, but you're still sort of examining the world. So the twist early on is with the character that you didn't really know all that well to begin with. Twist in the second book, but again, it's not as like big of a twist. There's a twist in the third book, but you kind of know that something's coming. There's a twist in the sixth and the seventh book involving basically the same character. But the twist in the fourth book, I did not see coming at all. You know that something's coming, but I actually did not have this figured out. So I was really...
I don't remember what the twist is.
It's with Mad-Eye Moody. And that's all I'm going to say for the three people who still aren't familiar with the Harry Potter books and movies. But yeah, that one, Goblet of Fire. Still, I think my favorite of the seven.
Is book four. Well, I think number one is my fave.
Number one is the one that sucked me in, but four and two are my two favorites.
You did not give a spoiler at all.
No,
like,
I didn't.
What I was going to talk about involves some generalized spoilering.
Okay.
But
I can just
talk about a totally different book if you prefer.
No. Let's talk. I always want to talk about Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter.
Well, the thing that I was going to say, the character who is, you think he's one way, but he's really another
right.
way. I was going to talk about Snape.
Of course.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you think he's the villain.
You always think he's the villain.
And then
he never is.
And he's. Right, very decidedly not the villain
yes.
in the last one, but then also maybe...
Maybe a little bit, yeah. I wasn't so sure about his motivation in the last one because, I don't know, the J.K. Rowling made him out to be less nobly heroic in the last one that I was kind of assuming he was the whole way through.
Yeah.
Which actually surprised me a little bit, but he's such a great character.
Yeah.
He is such a great character. Like, that is just a revolutionary character in children's literature. Like, this character that is... physically ugly and not pleasant to be around and just villainous in every single way except for the actually being a villain part.
Right.
Like, how often is there a character like that in children's literature?
But he is sometimes... I mean, he really does a good job of, of pretending to be a villain.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He's so good at it. Yeah.
People are complicated.
So complicated.
Learn
but...
it, kids.
All right. Do we have any more recommendations? I'm out.
I have one more.
Okay, go for it.
I am going to talk about a romance novel, not Uh-oh. Wuthering Heights. So there is a series by Sarah McLean, and she writes historical mm-hmm. romances that are very funny and very smart characters. And this is a, what's four books? A four-book set. And in the it's about these four people who own a gaming hell in London in the Regency era. And in the fourth book, it's about a woman, Lady Georgiana, who has a child out of wedlock and is sort of a scandalous person.
Okay.
And then I'm going to just spoil it because I just want to. In this
plug
fourth
your
book,
ears.
Fourth book called Never Judge a Lady by Her Cover, you find out that she actually is the mysterious fourth founding member of the gaming hell, Ooh. Even though she's a lady.
Okay.
So.
All right. Awesome.
Anyway,
like
but,
it.
You know, so she seems to be just a normal fallen mm-hmm. woman. But then she's fallen farther
she
than you think, I guess.
She is not a normal fallen woman.
She has agency. That's the surprise.
All right. Awesome. I like it. What's the title of the book?
Never Judge a Lady by
Never
Her Cover.
Never Judge a Lady
and,
by Her Cover.
And Sarah
cover.
McLean's
okay.
books are very funny and
yeah.
really fast-paced. And so.
All right. So check those out. And if you got book recommendations, tweet them to us at WCHL Chapelboro. Again, this week's recommendations are characters who you think are one thing that turn out to be completely different, very much like Atticus Finch in Ghosts and a Watchman. Susan McGuire, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.